for each one of us, I should say, there is what Prabhupada says, a Brahma plan. That is a plan which is in harmony with our very inherent dharma. All of us here, and also all of us who are not here, have come into this world to fulfill a certain dharma, a very, very specific duty or plan. Most of the people have not found their dharma, and therefore their heart remains dissatisfied and their lives unempowered. But the very moment a person finds and executes his or her dharma, there will be a tremendous amount of strength and support in whatever he or she does. As devotees of Krishna, and I believe my audience this evening is mainly composed of devotees of Krishna, we have to really search, what is the plan for me in this world, my dear Lord? What is my specific contribution to the community of devotees in specific? And what is my specific contribution to mankind? This is essential for us to find. If we only are toiling hard to make a living, we are in a sense not much superior than our four-legged friends who roam the desert to find food and shelter. There is a particular statement of Lord Krishna where he personally talks about the power of Dharma. And I would like to talk, to give this the context and the statement of Lord Krishna about Dharma here for the pleasure of the devotees in Dubai. Here's again your Vedic storyteller who kidnaps you into the Vedic village. His tambura is sounding and soon the wisdom comes. Hopefully. It was on the day when Lord Krishna, who was playing the leela of a cowherd boy, was sufficiently grown to take the cows into the forest for grazing. When he was very young, he took care of the calves who roamed not much further away from the houses of Nanda Maharaj and the other Brijbasis than just as far as the eye could look and the ear could hear. But when Krishna became older, he was allowed to take the cows out into the forest of Braj, where there would be fresh herbs and grasses to feed the cows. On that day, there was a great celebration. And on the day of this taking out the cows for the first time, in this celebration, Mother Yashoda came so very lovingly, and she brought one pair of shoes. The shoes were made from silver. There were many rubies. And she said, "My dear Kanai, here are your shoes which you need for cowherding, so that the pebbles and the thorns who are there in the forest do not hurt your soft lotus feet. And in great anxiety, Mother Yashoda began to cry, thinking what would happen if only a cold wind would come upon the skin of her beloved Lord Krishna. Take these shoes, and further, I have arranged a servant for you who will carry an umbrella made from the best of silk, so that your head is shaded from the piercing sun rays of the noon sun. And as Mother Yashoda was thinking about the noon sun and its tremendous heat, she again began to cry. Listen very carefully to Krishna's answer. His loving mother was taking care of him, but Lord Krishna was for the first time in his Leela not prepared to accept the offering of Mother Yashoda. He said, "No, Ma! Have you also brought silver and ruby shoes for each of the cows?" You must know that there were millions of cows in Krishna's herd. Some have counted 900,000 cows, but others have said, no, it is not possible to count the unlimited amount of cows who were there. So if we either we calculate 900,000 cows, and or either we count unlimited counts. And Mother, have you brought a servant with an umbrella for each of my cows? Oh, said Yashoda. Each of your cows requires not two shoes, but four. This is a rather costly thing. Unlimited times four means unlimited shoes with unlimited jewels. This is even a very costly endeavor for the devotees here who are very rich and opulent. And then unlimited amount of servants with unlimited amount of umbrellas. This is sheer impossible to arrange, said Yashoda. Listen to Krishna's answers. Oh Ma, if you cannot supply for my cows, then I cannot accept. Because I am a cow herder. My dharma is to take care of mother cow. How can I accept more for myself than for my cows? And then Lord Krishna said the very important sentence. He said, Mother, he who takes care of his dharma, for him, dharma takes care of him. Because this is a deep point, we will play a different tune on the tambura. Let us think very deeply. He or she who takes care of dharma, dharma will come and take care of him or her. It doesn't say he who takes care of his or her money, money will come and take care of him or her. This is an entirely different concept than we are preached to in the town, in the village Dubai. Dharma is more important than money. Dharma takes better care of you than money or friends will ever be able to do. If you find your Dharma, my dear devotees, your Dharma will find you and will take care of all your needs. Dharma is the strongest law in this world. Dharma, as Prabhupada explained, is the inherent quality. The Dharma of fire is to burn. The Dharma of water is to be liquid, to put out fire, to clean, to nourish all life. It's the essential quality. Dharma is the essential quality. So if we are connected with our specific Dharma, then Dharma will nourish us. It's the most powerful force in the universe, my dear devotees. You don't have to worry any longer if you are in your Dharma. Dharma will carry you much more than a husband carries his wife or family. Much more. Dharma cannot fail. People can fail. Even currencies can fail. This point is very much illustrated or made clear in the Nrisimha Purana, where we find one boy whose name is Dharmasetu. In brief, Dharmasetu is the son of a Brahmana and learns the recitation of the Rig Veda. After his Brahmin father has completed the education of Dharmasetu, he dies. Dharmasetu leaves his mother to become an orator or reciter of the Rig Veda. Within a short time, he becomes the most respected orator. To each of his lectures come even more people than nowadays to the esteemed Murari Vapu, who has a gathering of sometimes 50,000, even 100,000 people. Mm-hmm. Dharmasetu gathers from 200,000 people upward whenever he opens his mouth. One day, and now it becomes interesting, it's the day where Dharmasetu meets his Dharma in the form of a housewife, a simple housewife. Dharmasetu goes early in the morning into the river, takes his bath, and while bathing, takes his cloth and washes the cloth and puts the cloth on the stones for drying. You know, Pandits do this. They take care of their own cooking very often and also of their washing. So Dharmasetu is there, and he's quite young at that age, and he has cooked, he has washed his clothes, and the sun is drying it. At that moment, when the cloth is dry, two crows come. Quack, quack. Take the cloth, it's his lungi, go up in the sky. Dharmasetu says, "You thievish crows, give back my lungi. It is highly required." The crows let go of the lungi. The lungi falls. Dharmasetu thinks, "I'm very powerful. Even the foolish crows obey my command." As he thinks like this, the crows, now I do not know good English, they begin to pass stool on his lungi. And the stool begins to attack his sense of smell. It's a very stinking stool. Dharmasetu gets highly upset with the crows and says, "You crows, may you die!" At this moment, by the powerful curse of Dharmasetu, the crows are burnt. And the ashes come falling down on the ground. My God, says Dharmasetu, I'm so powerful. And becomes highly elated. Then he goes for Madhukari. Things are very full of himself. He comes to the first house in the village where a very pious lady serves her husband. He knocks at the door. The lady comes and says, oh, a pandit who asks for food. Please wait, I'm just serving my husband. And she goes right into the room and serves the food to her husband. Then, after quite some time, it's a long meal, she brings water for her husband to wash her hands. Then, after quite some time, because he takes a long time, she brings a towel. By now, Dharmasetu is outside of the door cooking. Why does she take so long? I'm Dharmasetu, the well-known orator and the powerful speaker. My words have even transformed the crows into heaps of ashes. So after some long time, she comes out. Dharmasetu is cooking. She says, Dharmasetu, don't look with angry eyes upon me. I'm not like the two innocent crows whom you killed in the morning. How do you know about the crows? Oh, I know many things, Dharmasetu. Because I am following my dharma, you are not following your dharma. Dharmasetu looks at her. She is a strong woman, and an aura of piety surrounds her. So she doesn't. He is intelligent enough to not become further angry. And he says, how do you know my dharma? Dharmasetu, when you left your house, your father died. And you left your mother, who is now a widow, who requires her son to take care of her. You left in order to become famous as an orator and inflate your false ego and pride. Your dharma, Dharmasetu, is to go home, take care of your mother, and when 7 days have passed, a Brahmana will come and offer his daughter, who is in marriageable age, to you. Accept her. It's your dharma to be a grihastha. And then later, when you are 50, you leave home and you will become a great devotee of the Lord. But do not jump over your dharma. This is my advice. Follow it or not follow it, as you want. Oh no, my mother, says Dharmasetu. Why was I so selfish? And I was not even asking about her. But I don't believe this simple housewife. Let me go home and see what is the situation. So when Dharmasetu went home, it was like the wife, the woman had told him. His mother was very, very desperate and in need of help. And on the seventh day, a Brahmana came with a daughter, with his daughter in marriageable age, And he decided, let me follow my Dharma. He married. He took care of his wife. He became a local Pandit, not so well visited as a traveling Pandit. But he felt how Dharma was taking care of him and his needs. He felt satisfied and not so angry and upset as he was before. And yes, when the time came, he renounced everything and became a great devotee of the Lord. This is an illustration to Krishna's own words. If you take care of your Dharma, Dharma takes care of you. When Krishna says, Savadamang parijajamang ekam sharanam vraja, you know the shloka, give up all your Dharma and surrender unto me. Krishna speaks of the goal of spiritual life, which can be obtained by those devotees who are high in spirit, or who are very advanced. For most of us, it is necessary to find out our dharma and fulfill our dharma, especially if we are like most of you in the Grihastha ashram or approaching the Grihastha ashram. It's very necessary. Let us not, in the name of bhakti, become careless about dharma. But at the same time, let us not be lost only in worldly dharma. Let us take care of two dharmas. The dharma in relationship to our position here, and the dharma in relationship to our eternal soul, which is service of Krishna. Only someone who goes on these two tracks in his life will feel satisfied. He who takes care of his dharma in relationship to humanity and who takes care of his dharma in relationship to God. Both must be followed simultaneously for most of us. How do we find our dharma? Well, very simply speaking, you can ask the question, what am I really meant to do? And speak with wise people like sadhus who can help you, who can give you a feedback. You can talk with your friends. Best is you pray for Krishna. What am I meant to do? You know best. You tell me best. Your dharma, you can also take some help of astrology at times when you are very unsure what it is that you should do. But be careful, it is very seldom to find a good astrologer in Kali Yuga. Prabhupada approaches the question of dharma in a very simple yet effective way. He says, we should approach our spiritual master and ask him. And he usually, being in contact with Krishna, will be able to give us a good view on dharma. What I did to find my dharma as a preacher in Krishna consciousness and a disciple of Prabhupada, the plan of Lord Krishna, I went to Mountain Kailash and I asked the greatest of all Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva, to help me find my dharma. I personally had come to a stage in my life where I felt when I'm 50 years old, physically old, I should take sannyas. I have taken already sannyas, but I was very entangled in many, many small things, and so on. And I felt not satisfied. I felt I'm not situated in the plan for me. I prayed to Krishna, but it became clear to me that my own plan was very much in the way to find out what is Krishna's plan for me. Do you know this? When we are an ego and I want to do this, we cannot hear, we cannot listen, we cannot receive. So I thought, I will go to the personality who takes away who's in charge of the ego. Lord Shiva, I will request him to bring my ego down so that I could hear Lord Krishna's plan. And I went to the sacred mountain of Kailash as a beggar trying to find his plan. And I left as the most richest person in the world who knew the plan of Lord Krishna. And I'm now in my plan and I'm very happy. I see that everything is arranged for me. Like, for instance, the way I came to Dubai, I never had the idea of coming to Dubai in my mind. Then Sri Vallabha came and said, Maharaj, you should come to Dubai. And I politely said, because so many devotees come to invite you all over the universe. I said politely, we will see, we will see. Some uncommitted answer. Then I became aware that in Persia some help is required and no devotees go there. And I felt, because I was for a long time in Afghanistan, and I understand these countries a little bit, let me go and try to do something and serve Prabhupada. And then all of a sudden I was in Dubai. I all of a sudden understood you go over Dubai there. And then I remembered Sri Vallabha, and the rest is very, very pleasing. I met all of you. This was from Krishna's arrangement for me. And in this way, many things happen which are very nice. So I would like to take you now on that journey which changed my life in very, very significant ways, which made it clear what is the plan of Lord Krishna for me. And I will do this. There was our technical-minded devotee, computer devotee. Could you please come and help us?
Could we also come on?